You want the dog with it?
Yeah, there is a little slip there.
Pop that in, that'd be great.
There's a little door opener thing, yeah, there you go. So, in the interest of time, it's about 3:30, and we only have our space here until 5. And as we've identified and actually known all along, is that there's a lot of issues that are important but peripheral to this opportunity today to come and speak directly with Ado about his actions and the actions that harmed people. And although I would be the last person to shut you down, I am going to ask those who have something specifically to say to Ado Shimada to speak first, so that those conversations can take place. And perhaps there is another day, another forum, where conversations about broader implications can be discussed. But we do have this opportunity today to have these one-on-one conversations, and so we might want to take that opportunity. If you aren't comfortable speaking into the microphone, if you decide to come up and speak, then you don't have to, and you can speak quietly. But for the benefit of everybody who's here and their ability to hear, I'm going to ask you to speak into the microphone. Is there a question?
I have something to say.
Good. Okay. So this gentleman was next right before the break, and then you. Okay. And then yes, and then you. Okay. Would you like the mic?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to stretch this around to the other side of you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Doug E. Thomas Stab. I have been a member of Zen Society since 2003, and I will intend to speak directly to Ado Roshi, but by all means, I welcome everyone to participate in this aspect of the conversation. I am male, and I feel fortunate for that fact because I've enjoyed a deeply meaningful teacher-student relationship with Ado Roshi as long as he was the abbot of Zen Seven Society. I feel fortunate to have been unaffected directly by Ado, your sexual indiscretion. But I want to draw attention to what my own experience has been and to somewhat pick up on what Joe had suggested about the sexual and psychological manipulation that is at the core of why we're here today. I want to state it simply that it's sort of strange that we all here should be so concerned with the sexual practices of one human being. So I'm kind of trying to call out here that there's a reason why we're all concerned with the sexuality of one human being. And it's because of the role Ado Roshi played as a Zen master. By definition, you are held to a higher standard. And I've seen some illusion associated with that. I think as human beings, many of us crave some sort of superhero figure. And I think maybe most of us are prone to some degree of illusion associated with our own human inclination to want you to be a superhero. We want you to save our lives, to intervene, to be some daddy in the sky that's going to come down and fix everything for us. So anyway, for those of us who are sincere about Zen practice, we see some allusion to that for sure. But I'd like to speak about my own experience in the Dokusan room. And I think there is something extraordinarily beautiful about what can occur in the Dokusan room. And in my case, it is positive. But I think it also sheds some insight into the very jeopardy that women ran into while being in that Dokusan room. And let's say it. I think sleep deprivation alone is an incredible driver for the insights that many of us have in session. Not to mention all of the sensory deprivation that we're engaged in. It is an extraordinary feat that we put ourselves through, somewhat like Navy SEAL training. We are putting ourselves through rigors to turn our brains and egos into putty. We become extraordinarily vulnerable and extraordinarily suggestible when we're in what we believe to be the loving hands of a Roshi. And again, speaking from my own experience, that was a very positive experience. I felt that I observed my ego just melt away under your guidance in a way that changed my life forever and has led me to continue to feel gratitude toward you as a teacher. But what I'm concerned about here is essentially my question is, how could you have been so ignorant? And what I mean is, I think we all wish and want you to be fully enlightened, but I think it's starkly obvious that there is some hole in your own enlightenment for you to not have the compassion. Because I think that's what it boils down to, is how could you have been so lacking in compassion when you have women in your hand as putty, absolutely in a state where they're any human being is the most easily manipulated they possibly can be. It's toward the end of session, sleep deprivation, intense Zazen regimen, and putting immense trust in you, not to mention, I would argue that the complete relinquishing of the ego is part of a path that we need to take. But there seems to be nothing more evil than someone who would take advantage of somebody who has just relinquished their entire ego at your feet and you choose to use them for sexual pleasure. It seems particularly dark, psychologically twisted, and a bit sinister, particularly because we had all hoped and considered you to be enlightened. I'll stop there.
Could you ask the question directly once more?
My question is, how could you have been so unenlightened to not feel compassion toward the women who were completely malleable in the Dokusan room? And I guess what I'm searching for is some sort of acknowledgement of the limits of your own enlightenment.
You understand the question here? More or less. So, please.
To state it briefly, I don't think I am as enlightened as you might assume. This may be one of the big reasons. And secondly, the lack of compassion comes from there. As you well described, the feeling of the post-session atmosphere, as much as you felt, I felt too. And that sort of floating feeling. And if I am really enlightened, and if I know I'm strong enough, no matter how seductive what one person may be, I should have said no. This is my mistake.
Do you feel that Edo understood your question?
I do have, I appreciate what you said. I felt that real to me, and I appreciate your acknowledging the limits of your own enlightenment. And I would just like to close with one final comment that I think for those on the outside of the Sangha, who perhaps not fully understood why this has been so troubling for so many of us, I just want to again state that I think the best analogy to the teacher-student relationship that I'm describing, where we are so vulnerable, it's much like a psychiatrist and their patient in the West. And I just want to acknowledge that in the West, it's understood how highly unethical it would be to have sexual relationships between a psychiatrist and their patient. And I appreciate your admitting that there are limits to your own enlightenment, but I think it's also, given you know the context in the West of the perhaps useful analogy of being a psychiatrist, I would challenge you to consider stepping down as a teacher of your own Sangha, as I know you've continued to do. And I think it's, if you're acknowledging the limits of your own enlightenment, that perhaps you're not qualified to serve as a psychiatrist, if the analogy serves.
I think you've got beyond the limits of your critique.
Florence Morton of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine and the Interfaith Center, Brother David Steiner Wallace, a spiritual bridge between Catholic and Buddhism. Monastic Thought. Stephen C. Rockefeller, former Dean of Religious at Middlebrook College, Nobel laureate George Wald of Harvard University, and Edo Tai Shimano Roshi of the New York Zendo. Edo Roshi, preceding my father to be Zen Buddhist, performed memorial service for him at the first peace altar at the cathedral and several services at our home in the New Hope, Pennsylvania. Marjorie Johnston was my godmother, who took me to Japan the first time in 1963 with Alan Watts, one of the earliest Zen Buddhists in America. With her husband, William founded not only the Buddhist MKT Ceremony School, but Shoboji Zendo in New York City, and Daigo Satsu in Catskills. Anywhere she came in the early 1970s to bring this true spirit and discipline of Zen Buddhism to the United States, and with his wife, Iho, devoted his entire life and being to teaching, chanting, and bringing the authentic Rinzai Zen tradition to so many from America and other nations as well. Daigo Satsu Zendo built on the incredibly beautiful tract of land in the Catskills, one of the first architectural and cultural monuments of Zen Buddhism in the United States. It's not only in innately rare place of beauty, peace, and tranquility, but the spiritual home of both Iho and Edo Roshi, who gave it life and energy for nearly 40 years. I cannot imagine Dharma talks or chanting without Edo Roshi's strong, deep voice, nor Oban without Iho's amazing cooking skills. Without their presence, there is no spirit and can be no real peace. To deprive such people who have been the heart and soul of Zen in America, no matter what wrong they have occurred in the past, of dignity, respect, and means of loving, the remaining years in peace and full comfort is unconscionable. They sacrificed and devoted their entire lives for the good of the Sangha, and now the Sangha should return goodness to them, especially now that Iho is gravely ill. Daigo Satsu itself should be preserved for the future generation as a living symbol of Zen Buddhism in America, a place of the deepest, most profound silence I've ever known. May you find forgiveness in your hearts and follow the path of love and compassion, so that true Dharma may indeed continue. Gassho from Mirai Nagasa. I just want to follow up with both of you and that yes, I truly believe what needs to be done is the healing of those who's been harmed. Not to quibble over whether he's going to teach or he's not going to teach. For that, I wish there would be more occasion that could happen. Thank you.
So, can somebody tell me what time it is?
4.5. Okay. I was given 5 or 6 questions to ask Ido, which I'd like to do. And then Jisho, Chris Oda, Joe Darling, and it looks like Ed Kim?
Eshner.
We'd like to speak. So if I may skip in line and ask these questions, I appreciate it. Does anybody have an objection? Okay, thank you.
Just curious where the question came from.
From people who called me over the last 3 weeks or sent me emails and asked me to ask the questions.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
The first one is, Mr. Shimano has apologized before. What's the difference this time?
Deeper and more sincere.
Can you say that again, please?
Deeper and more sincere.
Have you made any attempt to make a private apology to the women who you have hurt?
If these individuals want to meet with me, and if we can find mutually convenient time, I'm willing to do so.
Is this something you would initiate, or would you expect them to initiate it?
I would expect them to initiate, because I don't know who you're talking about, and even I did not know until today that you are here. And this thing was organized without my knowledge. So this is completely astonishment. Like, Junko told me, but Loco never mentioned this to me.
Which
part? Well, your presence here and all kinds of activities which you're doing now. So, it's fine, you're doing a good job of initiation.
Initiation. He's saying that he's available to have discussions with anyone who wants to come to him personally. That will be set up individually, but you need to reach out. He's not responsible for reaching out. He's available. He's to initiate the conversation. He's saying that this is what's being offered.
Yeah, if schedule allows.
When schedule allows. Eroshi is now doing convalescent care for his beautiful wife at home. He's doing home care, plus teaching and doing. His life is very, very busy. The question is how to find the time to do that. He at this particular point cannot afford to build a structure to have home care taken in. So his ordinary life is continuing. Inside that context, he's saying, okay, how would that work? How many days, how many hours, which days could it happen? We've had that discussion. That discussion is what's saying following this event, now, what is the structure that we plan going forward? What's appropriate? Thank you.
The next question is, do you think it is wise for a spiritual teacher to sleep with the students? Do you think it is wise for a spiritual teacher to sleep with his students?
Wise.
Wise.
Do you think it is wise for a spiritual teacher to sleep with his students?
Stupid.
How will the remainder of the Sangha, those who are not able to attend today, be informed about the meeting today?
As you know, in this day and age, 1 hour from now, everybody knows.
And how do we, implying the Sangha, go forward from this?
All of us have to acknowledge the imperfection of our being. Like yourself, I don't think you're perfect, right?
No.
Yeah, you can
highly, highly perfect.
Yeah. So all of us, of course I am included, I'm on top of the top. If we are able to acknowledge the imperfection of our being, and then we need some time, some healing period, and then when Dharma arranges that way, we shall meet again.
Jisha.
I don't want to speak from...
Do you want people to hear this or not?
With gratitude and respect for you and your teaching. And I'm so thankful this day has come. Chanted for this, I thought of you. I'm sorry. Thus offering you've experienced as well. It's to relate it to myself, I have also made a mistake, broken precept, and needed to really spend time looking deeply at what that entails, how it pervades my life, how deeply it has taught me. After all, that kind of mistake is the only place to establish practice, is to go right there for me. I also want to say, because I'm from the Syracuse Sangha, and Shinge Roshi is my teacher. You've been my teacher too. But it was very hurt her a great deal, all of this. Because I think she believed at some point, and perhaps for selfish reasons, wanted to return to training with you. She may be who she is today. And I think she's the only person that could have brought this about over the last 5 years. Because she has that deep respect for you as a teacher. But it was very hurt her a great deal that she couldn't extend to you the kind of, as a founder, and very skillfully, I feel I've learned a great deal from that process of trying to bring this about. And I think the fundamental thing is that this is what Bodhisattva pathway is. We all must forgive. We all must, even anybody who will one day be Buddha, as Neil Kensensaki would always be saying, we have to have this forgiveness. This is a part of the practice. So, yes, you did things that were wrong. Made mistakes. Maybe I mean more from mistakes than anything else. So, I hope that, it's my hope that we can, that you are able to express your deep regret, your deep. I know all the things I had to go through. I don't know what your experience is about remorse, about, you know, purifying. Because I, you know, you love the Dharma. I know you do. And it will take more work to purify your Dharma legacy. But I, this is a great step. And I'm very thankful. Very thankful. Given your life. I want that to be carrying through as well. purely as he can. So this work is really important. And I just have to acknowledge my teacher as him holding up with great preciousness your teaching as well.
Thank you for your statement.
Chris Porter?
Yeah. Hello, hello. Hello, everyone. I first came to Dharmasatsu when I was 16, and was searching for something that practice that wasn't necessarily dogmatic in moral beliefs. And I read Trungpa Rinpoche. And his personal practices are questionable in terms of morality, but somehow it was justified in Buddhism, at least amongst popular opinion. So when I came when I was 16, I knew that you had a history, but it didn't bother me because I wasn't considering the whole context of it. So but now after seeing this, I realized that there's a holistic issue and there's a teacher-student relationship that might have been taken advantage of, that was taken advantage of. But my question for you is, what is the connection between morality and Zen practice? And when you were engaged in these activities, did you feel like you were, when you were having these relations with these women and whatnot, did you feel like you were still practicing Zen or that you were cheating Zen?
Two questions.
I indeed was wrong, and what was the second question?
When you were doing these things, did you feel like you were still somehow in touch with the wisdom, or diverging from the path?
Wisdom disappeared.
Was your first question about the connection between morality and Zen practice answered?
I'd like to hear more if you could. So I know that there's not necessarily a clear right and wrong, but maybe you could speak to what was wrong about what we did.
I now think that you, not only you alone, but all of you came to Zen practice, and as someone mentioned that I'm a sort of a perfect hero. That itself, I never said I'm a perfect hero, but you thought that way. However, in morality, when you are talking about, and what I believe is certainly below morality.
Because you were the one wearing the nice robes. And no one else was wearing those robes.
It's deception.
Yeah. So why wear the robes? And why not just learn from each other and not the teacher if we're all equally
well, it's not you problem. It's not for you problem.
All my life, since I'm